So, I went to Dave this morning, and he comes up to me, and he's like, "I hear you're preaching today." I was like, "What are you talking about?" And he just like looks at me, and he's, "What? I thought you were preaching." And I was just like, "I'm kidding." But as Brother Matt said, I'm here this morning because Jared told me on Thursday that he needed someone to fill in because Meredith's grandfather passed away on Wednesday, and he was 94, and he had Alzheimer's. And I know it's been difficult for them. I've been living with them. I'm living with them, renting with them. I just know it's been hard for them. So I would like to say a prayer. And if you guys, when you guys see them, give them encouragement. And also, I also wanted to pray for just everybody that's ill here at church. I know Diana Hayes has surgery tomorrow. Linda Allen's hip surgery was unsuccessful. So, and Minerva's knee surgery that was postponed. So I just want, and also my grandmother, she has breast cancer. And they don't know when they're going to do surgery on her pretty soon. So, and just hearing now the news that our brother gave us about Kristen, I've known Kristen for a while. We went to Harding about the same year. So it's just a lot of news that is hard to take. So I'd like to pray again. So if you'll bow with me. Father God, we come before you just thanking you first and foremost because you are a God that knows all things and understands all things, and you love us immensely, Lord. And sometimes it's hard, Father, to understand the plans that you have, Father, and we want to trust you, Father, and I pray that we can take this time to remember that you are faithful and that you love us. We can take this time to remember your promises. That we can take this time to lift up those people who are ill. And I pray that you can comfort them. That you can be with Kristen, my grandma, Minerva, Linda, and Diana. That you can be with them and you can guard them and keep them safe. Father, you are the healer of healers. I pray that you can watch over them. And Father, that all this may result in the glory of your name. And Father, now that I'm here to speak, Father, I pray that you can, through your Spirit, speak through me, Father, that the words that come out of my mouth are not my own, but of yours, because what I have to say is not important, but what you have to say, Father, is more important. So, Father, thank you for this day. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right. So, I'm going to introduce myself a little. Just a quick summary of who I am. If I haven't met you, my name is Isaac Alvarado. I was born in California, and I was raised in Panama ever since I was 7. I was dragged there, but I had to. And I went to Harding for 4.5 years to study computer science, and now I'm here in Nashville. So I'm glad to be here in Nashville. It's been good. You might ask why in the world are you here? Well, two huge reasons, whereas one, my girlfriend Serena's here, and I was like, I can go anywhere, why not go where she is, right? And then and the other one is I came here earlier in the fall, and I came here to Echo Hills, and meeting you guys, I really felt like home. And it reminded me of the church in Panama, of feeling like I was with my family, and I just love that. So I just want to thank you guys for being so welcoming. Just in this month and a half or so that I've been here, you guys have been very welcoming, so I'm thankful for you guys. Thank you so much. I just remember like when my dad, who's a preacher, he would stay after church, and we would be like, oh, man, I didn't want to stay after church, you know, like, that's what a preacher does, like, he has to stay, right? But now I just love it. It's good. It's good to know that God has graciously given his community, this community called the church, to be able to grow and share our lives with. So it's good to be here in Nashville. And who has seen the Road 65? Like, who has driven there the past like week? Like, it's beautiful. Like, if you've driven on 65, it's beautiful. Like, they just paved the roads. It's beautiful. Like, I have to commute to Nashville, downtown Nashville, every day for work. And it was crazy when I moved here and I started going down 65. I'm like, oh my goodness, what's going on? There's all these potholes. And it was stressful, honestly. It was stressful. But if you were here a couple weeks ago, you would have seen that if you were coming from downtown Nashville to here, to Madison, you'd have noticed that they fixed the roads. And then if you're here on Thursday, on your way to downtown Nashville, you'd see that the roads are all paved. And I was like, we took Serena's car for a recall up here in Madison. And on our way back, I was taking her back to Lipscomb. I just started driving, and I'm like, what's going on? Like, there's no potholes, and it was really nice. So, yeah, I'm excited to be here in Nashville. All right, let's dive into the Word. If you guys can turn to Exodus 15, verse 22 through 27. Exodus 15, verse 22 to 27. And just to give you guys a little bit of context of what's going on, Israel was under captivity, under the Egyptian captivity, and they had just crossed the sea, the Red Sea. And God had graciously and powerfully taken the Israel nation out of Egypt. And it was 2.5 million people coming, just imagine, 2.5 million people coming out, crossing the Red Sea. And finally, you see at the beginning of chapter 15, you see them rejoicing. Moses has a song there, and he's excited about what God has done. The nation is excited about what God has done. And now, verse 22 happens. This is what happens when 3 days pass by. It says, then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a log or a tree, and he threw it in the water, and then the water became sweet. I'm just like, okay, first of all, I give them the benefit of the doubt. It's 3 days without water. You know, I thought about this, and I was like, oh, why are you guys already complaining? But then I thought about 3 days. I'm spoiled. Like, I can go to the cabinet, get a glass, and get some water from the fridge in 10 seconds, you know? And this is 3 days that has passed by, and Israel is like, they don't find any water, then they come to this place where there's water, but the water is bitter. And they're like, where are we going to get water from, God? And then Okay, verse 26. Therefore the Lord made for them a statue and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. So what's going on here? I mean, how many of us have been in this place where we start complaining to God and we're like, God, what are you doing? I don't understand what you're doing. And it's interesting how God was working with the Israel nation. And the way I think about it is, last fall I lived with a family, and they have a two year and a half daughter. And I was talking with the father, and he was just telling me about how sometimes her daughter just would pout and just be like, "Oh my goodness, Dad!" She would just, she wouldn't talk, you know, she was 2 years and a half, but she would pout and cry, like. And Aristus, the father, he would just tell me, like, sometimes I just let her cry, and I let her ask me what she wants. I don't just give it to her. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I think that's how it is sometimes. God wants us to just ask. At this point, I don't think the Israel nation had asked God, other than asking them, why aren't you on our side? Why don't you provide for us? And God graciously provided for them, right? So sometimes I think God just wants us to ask. And after that, a key word in verse 25 is that God tested the Israel nation. He tested them. He's basically saying in verse 26, and 26, he's saying, listen, I want to protect you. I want to be your father. Just listen to what I say. This is like parenting 101, and it's awesome. Like, God is reaching out to the people and showing them that he loves. I want you guys to tell you a story. Like, when I was 8 or 9, I was just frustrated with my parents, you know, because I knew everything, right? And like, one day I just got so frustrated. My parents are like, okay, they scolded me and everything. And I'm like, I'm running away. I'm just going to run away. I'm done. And I told them that. And then I remember being in my room and just thinking about it. And I'm like, all right, what am I going to do? All right, I'm going to start packing my things. I'm going to start, like, leaving. And yeah, I'm gonna walk down the street. Then what? I'm like, I was 8 years. If I would have walked out of my neighborhood, I wouldn't have gone anywhere. And I think that God, that my parents wanted to protect me. And they wanted the best for me. And in the same way, God wants the best for us. So, verse 27 says, then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. So after all this struggle, God graciously led the Israel nation to a place of rest, an oasis, that they can recuperate. So God, from the beginning, knew what they needed. He just wanted them to rely on Him. I was debating about talking about this morning, but I was like, hey, why not? Not this past fall, but the fall before, I went through a really hard time. I was going through a real struggle with school, with my personal life, and with my family. And I had knee bursitis. If any of you guys know what that is, if you're medically inclined, knee bursitis, if you know the sacs between your knees, the bursa, were swollen. So I couldn't bend my knee, so I would be walking all around campus just limping everywhere, and people would be like, what's wrong with you, you know? And the struggles from family were really hard. I started having stress-related heart problems and everything, and I mean, Serena was probably more worried than me at some point about the whole thing, and it was just really difficult. I remember one day I was just, like, done with everything, and I couldn't take it anymore. I had that senior presentation that night, I mean, the next morning, and that night, I went to talk with a friend, and he told me, you just need to give everything up to the Lord. And I remember going to my room and just falling to the ground and just crying. I was like, Lord, I don't know what's going on or what you want from me, but this is stressful. And then I remember one of my good friends, Caleb, we were RAs together on the same floor. So he just like walks in, my lights were off in the room. He walks in and you just see him step up. And he goes, are you okay, bro? Like, he thought I had died because I had told him that, like, I had heart problems. And he was like, he thought I was dead. But no, I was just like, just don't talk to me right now. And I was like, really bad. And it was a very vulnerable moment for me. But it was one of the moments that I felt very intimate with the Lord. I felt very close to him. And I think God tests us. He puts us in a place where we feel hopeless so that we can learn to rely on him. Honestly, who likes tests? I went to college for 4.5 years, and I don't like tests, you know? But I think it's so gracious, so amazing that God, the God of the universe, is not content with the place that we are. He says, I want to be closer to you. I want to form a closer bond with you, a closer relationship with you where we can be one. And that just blows my mind sometimes. And God just doesn't settle for the kind of relationship that we feel like is okay with God. He wasn't okay with that with the Israel nation. You know, God knows that the most important and valuable thing for us is to have him in our lives, for him, for us to be to have a relationship. You know why? Because he created us. I mean, he created us. He fashioned us in a way that we can know that we need him, that we can have that desire to be filled by him. That's the way he made us. So it makes sense that God can satisfy our desires, what we truly long for. He can heal our brokenness. Church, those potholes of our hearts, we are that road that has potholes in it. And God wants to pave that way, and he's putting us in a place where we can come closer to him. He's testing us so that we can come closer to him. I'm not saying tempting. Tempting is something completely different. Tempting is luring you to do something wrong. Testing us is God putting us in a place where we can learn to rely on him more. And church, we are Israel. We are in the wilderness. And it's weird because we're in this awkward place where we're just freed from our sin. And we're longing to be in a place, but we feel like we don't belong here. You know, when we live in this world, it's just, we don't feel like we belong here because we're longing to be in the promised land, heaven. So sometimes we have that tendency to want to pull back. You know, at some point, the Israel nation was like, why? In the next chapter, they talk about wanting bread, and they talk about wanting meat. And they're like, Lord, why can't you take us back to where we were in Egypt? Why can't you take us back? We were able to eat and be filled there. And I think God is not okay with that, because he knew the bondage that the Israel nation was in. He knew that that he had something better for them. And God knows that we need something better. So church, if you have had that desire to go back to that old self, God has something better for you. something that's interesting to me is that we have taken this concept and that we think that salvation has already happened, that I was saved and I'm good. You know, it's more than that. Salvation is an entire process. You know, God didn't say, okay, I freed you from the Egyptian nation and just let him go. He didn't. No, he said, that's not enough. I want to be close with my people. And yes, there was a day when we, as Christians, we gave our lives to the Lord. But God says, that's not enough. I want you to come closer to me. So we are in that wilderness now, and he's sanctifying us. He has justified us. We're free from that penalty of sin, but now we're in this process of sanctification. God is freeing us from the power of sin. We're cutting that off of our lives. And one day, we can be in that promised land where we can be glorified, and we can be in the glorification. He'll free us from the presence of sin. But just to wrap up, the thing that I love about this the most, and something that I never realized was in the scriptures, is that God doesn't force us. He doesn't force us to make this decision. And I want us to turn to Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. Exodus 13:17 says, when Pharaoh let the people go, so this was right after Pharaoh let them go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Listen to these words this morning, church. This is amazing. Like, God knew how much Israel could bear. He knew that if he took the Israel nation through the war, through the land of the Philistines, they would be freaking out. They would be like, oh my goodness, there's so much war going on. We're going back to Egypt. I can't handle that. He knew what his people needed. I looked it up because I was curious. Like, how? What? So I looked up on the map and the difference between, like, it was, Canaan was really close to Egypt, and they went all the way south, and then they went back up north, and in total, it was like 900-something miles, and they could have gotten there in like 200 miles. So that's like the difference between going from here to Gatlinburg compared to going from here to San Antonio, Texas. So I was like, oh my goodness. I was like, but he knew that the people needed to be tested so that they can learn to rely on him. And God knows how much we can bear. So if you're in a place today, church, that you feel like it's unbearable, God knows how much you can handle. So I pray that we can learn how to give up our burdens to him. He asked us to cast our burdens to him. So church, I pray today that this may be a message of comfort in these times that we're listening to all these news that just seem like they're weighing on us, where there's illness, there's hurt, there's brokenness. I pray that we can find comfort in that when God is testing us, we know that he never left. After these verses in chapter 13, there's pillar. He guides the nation in pillars of cloud and fire, and he never left. It says that he never left them. Anytime the Israel nation was like, what are you going to do, God? He never left. And I know there's times when we feel like God is not there. But he's always been there. Thank you for listening this morning. I thank you guys for just being so kind to listen. to what the Lord has to say and let His word speak for itself. If I haven't met you, I would like to meet you. So, after church, I would be glad to talk to any of you. Thank you again.